You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
They know all the secrets that you hide.
Well, welcome to Section 31, episode number 179. I'm Dan Hamm.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
This week, we had a busy weekend here in San Diego. Saturday was full of making cards for promos and lots of tribbles. And on Sunday, we had a special tournament for Kieran, who neglected to actually
show up,
but that's okay. This is the second time the San Diego folks have come out on an odd day, on a Sunday, for a tournament for a traveling player. And the second time that person has not shown up, but yeah, that is okay. We had a good day anyway. There were six of us that showed up. But we'll get to that. There are a couple other random things. You go ahead. All right, perhaps I'll go ahead. Because I can't hear you all.
Sorry, there was a little... Are you there? Hi.
All right. Welcome to the live show. You were twangy for a second. Yeah. All right, well, since I'm the one recording, I know my sound's okay, so I'm just going to keep talking. Let's see, you interrupted me, and now I have no idea what I was going to talk about. Oh, the raffle. The raffle's coming up. I'm posting an article that should go up either tonight or tomorrow, and basically it's going to say, hey, the raffle is coming up in about 2 weeks, but the deadline for putting tickets in the bins is the 31st of March. So once that day rolls around on the 31st, you are no longer going to be able to put any tickets into these bins. Now, if you don't spend them, you'll be able to use them next time. But there's some great stuff in this raffle, and
want stuff?
Yeah, put your tickets in there, so it'll be more exciting that day.
That 31st is Sunday. Is it the end of that day? So like, site time.
That's an excellent question. According to this, bins lock on the 31st. So I would put all of your tickets in on the 30th.
On Saturday. Okay. Yes. That is, yes, important clarification.
If you wish to take part, because, like I said, there's a lot of cool stuff here. I got another ticket for running it. No, I didn't get a ticket for running event. I'm sad.
Oh, because you played in it. You only get a ticket if you don't play.
Right. If you play in your own tournament, you better win if you want a ticket.
So my 2E strategy of being nice and showing up to have you an even number of players has robbed you of a ticket.
Exactly.
Basically. Is that what you... And I got one, so...
well played, sir.
I took that right out of your pocket.
That is one fewer chance for that getting under your skin foil for me.
Yeah. And that's one more Kamala for me.
Oh, so is that the one you're looking for?
It's the last Series 3 foil I need. And I'm going to apparently broadcast that to everyone so that they'll put their tickets in and take it away from me.
That is one of the medium ones. It says that there are tickets in the bin, but...
It was low last I checked. Yeah, see, I'm sitting on the rest of my tickets. Or I should say, the rest of my ticket. until I can see how many are in the rest of the bins.
All right. Yes. So what this allows us to do is I'm going to look through all of these because I've, as Malloway's pointed out when he said, hey, you know, you should remind people that you got to put tickets in if you want to win, and there's actually a cutoff date. You can't just wait until the end like the previous raffles. I am going to look and see what has been popular. Like, for instance, this 100,000 Tribbles clone is now high. There are a lot of tickets in this bin.
So that is not surprising.
Yeah, same for the buttons and the abduction foil. Yeah. So when I make the next set of lots, I'm going to be looking at this to determine what was popular and what wasn't. So you can vote with your tickets to what you'd like to see next time around. Also, if you have ideas for other things that you would like to see. Now, There are a number of the super rare Decipher foils, the physical foils, that
Yes.
didn't get put here because this is a quarterly raffle and not the annual raffle. So I divvied it up so there'll be a few each time. So suggesting that I
Nice.
throw in the Eridor foil is not going to be helpful because, yes, that will be coming. I don't remember. I shuffled up all the super rare ones and dealt them out, so I don't remember which pile he went in, but he'll be coming soon. But for the other things, the other random promos that we might have a few left over, the buttons, like I said, random just triple foils, things like that. Hey, if you want to see more of that, that's where you should put your tickets. And you could post in the on the forums as well, and just let me know what you'd like to see. There's been other suggestions like random Star Trek books and things like that. The beauty of the raffle is it's all stuff we already have. We could go out and buy things, but then we would be taking that money away from things like, tournament kit supplies and things like that. So it is certainly an
Yeah.
option, but it's not something we've done this time.
Cool. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to that. I noticed I was discussing this with Charlie actually. I'm kind of bummed, but possibly not, that I'm going to be on a plane during the raffle.
Okay.
So the next question is, are there going to be, as there have been in the past, I know that was kind of because it was an annual thing, that was a special thing, that if you were there and participating in the chat room, that there would be, periodic, must be present to win foils. Is that something that is going to continue, or is that something that's probably going to be pulled back because this is now quarterly?
There is, and I'll tell you why. Because I have to sit here and click all these buttons and make these things, so I want to be entertained by people in the chat room, and therefore I will be giving away prizes to people in the chat room. So,
Awesome.
come on
Well,
out. On my calendar, it says that on April 13th at 1 p.m. Now, there is a small chance that that might run a little bit late because I noticed that there's something else on my calendar that goes until 1:30. So, I'm looking at starting definitely by 1:30-ish, 1 o'clock, 1:30-ish on Saturday. That is Pacific time, so you can do the math to figure out where it is in yours. But there are specific prizes that you must be present to win. But all of the other prizes will be posted the same way we always do, just on the boards there. And I'm so looking forward to doing this one because all of the prizes will be generated automatically to the promenade.
Oh, nice.
Yes. So
Well.
The important thing is, when you go to the promenade and you look at your tickets, over on the right side it says, "Please confirm your shipping address." I will not be sending out any questions to anyone. I will be sending out exactly to what's there. So, update your address if you hope to actually get something. If it bounces back, now the rule is, and as it has been in the last few years, if it bounces back, it goes into the next raffle. So, make sure your address is correct.
Well, it sounds like fun. We always have a great time goofing around during that, so I think I might have to take up the friend who I'm traveling with point in that most planes have Wi-Fi these days, so we'll see how well
Logging in from several
logging
thousand
into the
feet,
chat
huh?
room from somewhere over the Pacific works out.
Awesome. All
Don't
right.
want to miss it.
Yeah. That's good stuff. I got some achievements this weekend. Did you see what I got?
Oh, yeah, you got you triple-tastic achievement guy. You not only got well, that one you already had, not from not this weekend, but the weekend before.
I got, I think it was no tribble at all. Nope. Time. Trials and
Is it
tribulations.
that's the one that you've been trying for forever?
No. I put it
No.
together and tried it twice.
There's
that's.
another one.
There's another
Okay.
one. I got the discard one finally. But the one that was just all the set, that was fun because I looked at the tribble achievements that I didn't have, and one popped up that I was not expecting because I got what is it, step to the left or jump to the right, whichever one.
Yes. Step
So,
to the left,
yes.
which you want, you got opening weekend, and
Yeah.
then you won with that deck again, I guess, or
No, I.
another deck that had.
So since I was playing Trials and Tribulations, there are at 10,000 you can play with safety and time warp. So I put in six of
Oh
each,
yeah.
right?
That's enough.
Which is the most 10,000s I think I've ever played in a deck.
Wow, they were all 10,000s,
yes,
huh?
They were all 10,000s. Oh. So six, I had 12 10,000s.
Oh, right, because they have to be from that set.
But it worked out. That was great. Because safety is also at 1,000, but that's a previous set. And 100,000, but that's also a previous set. And time warps are different at 100,000. But so that was fun. I had a good time. I think that was probably one of the sets I was looking forward to trying to do that with, because you've got all the sets from the premiere, you know, set. All the go and discard. And
all the reprints.
You could play poison. You could play a little bit of rescue. But that was fun. Had a good time.
Nice.
And you won the earlier one. Was that a new achievement for you, with the rescue?
No, that's an old achievement for me. That's pretty much the first deck that I got an achievement for. But it was fun. I enjoyed playing that. It's one of those that after I play a couple of new decks in a row and don't get anywhere, I'm like, damn it, I want to score some points this game. I'm busting out the rescue deck because I can usually at least go out once, even if I don't win.
That'll, I just figured you were tuning up for later this season when we go to regionals.
I don't need to tune it up. As is demonstrated.
Nice.
No, that one took last year off because there were a lot of recycles and, you know, people packed that. And there are a lot of rescue players, and so it's there's a lot of recycling going on. But your nemesis / frequent deck of late, discard tally, is what took the day last year. So
that's pretty good.
All I can remember from this past weekend of triples was poisoning. I did the same thing. We were done so fast that we played a second triples game, and I was like, okay, well, I played like crap, so I'm going to switch to my poison deck so I can at least get some points this game. 21 times in the first round.
More, because that was midway through. That was midway through. We were looking at how many times you had poisoned people, and you whiffed. It was astounding.
Like, you know, 8-1s and 7-10s and, you know, 1 big money. A not unreasonable amount of 10,000s, but still, if you're looking at the average, I was well below par.
You poisoned 32 times, and you got 400,000s out of it.
Yeah. And that's not just poison, though. That's poison, toxin, utilize.
Yeah. That was probably the lowest batting average I think I've ever seen.
But, you know, and that's it. You know, it was especially frustrating after watching Johnny, you know, literally the game before, you know, hit. His is not a poison-heavy deck, but it's still a poison deck. He's scoring points, and he, like, it's like swatting at the beehive, you know? I'll poke it with a stick. What's the worst that could happen? Oh, look, antidote. All right, well, I'll do it again because, you know, I'm not going to hit it this time. And he did. He kept hitting the big money. You know, it was like poisoned like 7 or 8 times and hit 3 antidotes but 5 big monies.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up winning.
Yeah, I think in the last round, Matt eked out a big score and went out with 600,000.
Right.
So he made it.
But, he did pass him up.
It was a triple-licious weekend. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. But there was other things going on, especially with our discussion during card making, because as I'm sure some version of the Star Trek Ned Stark would say, regionals is coming.
Yes, spring is coming,
spring is coming, yeah.
Have you listened to either of Charlie's podcasts, because they were quite informative?
I downloaded both of them. I haven't listened to Tui yet because I don't care, but I did listen to the 1E version, and it was really interesting, some of the insight that not just the discussion bore out, but listening to players from different, obviously very different playgroups, and from yes. different perspectives. You know, hearing the European meta from Danny, and Danny, I gotta say, ranked Terran Empire two spots lower because he can't beat me when I'm playing it. And that really, that seems like it's a reason to rank it higher. Don't you think? Because if someone as good as him can't beat me playing it, then that means it should be ranked higher because it's clearly that good. Because it's not me. It's the affiliation. So I was pleased to see Terran Empire show up in the number one spot of the bottom half.
Yeah.
You know, be ranked in there. It was pretty solid. Everybody pretty solidly ranked it in there as the... what the heck is that? All right, I just got a whole lot of noise.
Well, it wasn't for me.
But it was nice to see it in there. You know, everybody seemed to agree that sort of the core, there was like five or six affiliations like right in the middle of that. You know, they were numbered, but they were all kind of, you know, they're all pretty good, you know, contenders, and will probably at least win one regional. I didn't actually finish because I got to number four spot and it was like, okay, yeah, the rest are TNG. Who cares?
Seems to be. So here's a question for you. And you said you didn't particularly care about 2E, and that's fine. But right now, well, at least based on last year, right? TNG, sure.
Sure.
I think if I remember correctly, the rating this year was TNG was pretty good, TOS was pretty good, Voyager's always good. If you had to choose across both 1E and 2E, Federation or the field, what would you take?
Both combined.
Yeah. Because they're gonna make some. They're gonna show up in 1E, but right now the odds on, well, you know, at least for the next few weeks, the odds are on Ferengi because their power battles power is good.
Well, okay. So what are we talking about? Number of regionals won? Or total victories, or
let's go just how we always do with our regional affiliations. Let's say you total up and mashed all Fed stuff together. So you got TOS and Voyager and Fed and Future Fed and DS9 and DS9 Earth. If you total up all those points, and you got, you know, let's say they scored, you know, 500 victory points or whatever throughout all the tournaments.
Oh, okay.
And then everyone else, you've got your TNG Ferengi, you've got your, you know, Cardassian and your Borg and all the other stuff that's pretty good. And, you know, Starfleet is not kind of Federation, so, you know, put that over there.
Sure. Well, you've also got TNG Fed.
Yes.
Which is pretty close. I didn't actually hear them rank it, but I gotta guess it went Ferengi Fed Klingon because that AMS deck has been tearing it up. In multiple playgroups out there, it's been really good. There's Enterprise E.
Yeah, forgot about that.
Which is another strong Fed. There is the classic TMP TOS Fed combo with the time locations. They're really powerful. Do I get Terran Empire?
Of course,
because they're awesome. I mean. You know, the only trick that I'm kind of waffling on is, you know, all of those non-aligned guys who are really fed
that are going to get
wedged into the Vidian decks and the Herojian decks and the Kazon decks. You know, those should all be partially fed too. But they are the heroes of the story, which is why there's so many ways to play them and why they're so good. I think it's tough to beat and still pretty close to call. I think I have to go with the Feds.
Yeah? Well, that's going to be fun. I'll take the field and we'll see what happens.
All right.
Just for you know, to cover the 1E, it went number 1 was Ferengi, number 2 was TOS Klingon, number 3 was TOS Fed, number 4 was Hirogen, and number 5 was TOS Romulan. So we'll see how it goes. A couple down was Delta Quadrant Fed, and then I see Enterprise E, and then Terran Empire, and then straight up Fed, and then TOS, and you know, movie era. So there's a lot of Fed out there, but there's a lot of not Fed out there. So I think I'm going to take that. Between the Dominion article series that kind of started up, and the really really awesome Borg article series that's going on right now.
Yeah,
I'm predicting a lot of Borg out there, so that should be fun.
I was really surprised how low Borg came in.
Yeah.
On the 1E side, I mean, I see Ken's point about them. You know, they're always a contender, but they never close the deal. But they always seem to close my deal, and it's really. I mean, I can remember some games where I always felt like I was, you know, losing, and then I squeaked it out. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
The two times I took them to Worlds at Gen Con, I came in runner-up and just missed the final confrontation, so, you know, quasi-runner-up. And the other one, I was not having a good day.
Yes, that was really unfortunate. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no. I had a good time. I felt like I was in all the games. And I always feel like they're just such a monkey wrench in all the plans. I think someone put it best. You can tech against Borg and have a good anti-Borg deck, or you can tech against everyone else.
Everything else, yeah.
But doing them both at the same time is hard, and I don't know what I would do. I think going into it, even locally, I know Matt Kirk has played a Borg deck online. You've played Borg. You know, if I had to go through all the people I would think about showing up at our regional, those would probably be the two most likely pick. I don't see Johnny playing a Borg deck, although with this article series, he certainly could pick it up and just run the table. I don't see Charlie doing it, just because I don't think he has the experience in 1E to do Borg. I certainly don't see JD would be tough. TV would surprise anyone and just play it all something weird, but... It's certainly possible, so that's at least half the field could be bringing it, but I kind of get the feeling that each of those people have, you know, you included, a deck that you want to play and would rather play, you know? And the theme in San Diego locally, you know, is you play a deck more to have a good time than you do to, you know, win the region all the time, so, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
So, well, since we're on that topic, let me ask you, because you are a longtime Borg player.
Agreed.
And we've had this discussion before. We did a series on the show of you teaching me basically how to play Borg and, you know, kind of scripting that play. And it's always kind of been either you get it or you don't. And if you are a Borg player, you understand how all the parts work and you know what it does. And it's like playing almost a different game. And if you don't, you sit there and you're like, all right, let me know when you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take your word for what you're doing. Has their coming, or they will be coming, made Borg too easy or too accessible to play now? Because it seems to have made everyone abandon all the other Borg decks in favor of this.
Well,
alpha.
There's something to be said for playing the newest thing. You lose the safety of having a headquarters if some crazy opponent's coming after you. You only have the one ship with a big target on it, so if you're playing against a fleet deck, that there's a good chance they could take it out. Sure, you could, you know, recover and play another cube, but that means if you are playing the recovery cube deck, that means you're forgoing another free play on the tactical cube. I've said for a while now, there are one or two things that would just end the Borg day, and one of them is the drone, the Romulan drone, just playing over and over again. Yeah, there are potentially counters to it if you're playing enough, you know, established tractor locks. But that is a lot of bloat in an otherwise okay deck, and bloat is the last thing you want. If you're going after Homeworlds 1, one, anti-beaming equipment, the transport inhibitor, and you're not getting down to the homeworld. So if you're playing with two or three, you can pretty much spam every homeworld, and the Borg player will say, huh, guess I'm not doing a planet. So there's just nothing they can do about that. So that's the reason I've been taking a Borg vacation locally. I just haven't played it. There are so many decks I want to try, but it's so easy, in my opinion, to beat the decks that I play. Now, as you said, my decks are very, very scripted, and either they work or they work a little too slow. You know, if something, really, that's been the case. You know, they do their thing and they keep chugging along at it, and usually they get to their goal. Sometimes they don't because someone throws the wrong wrench in. The other style of Borg deck to play is the mass assimilation, the deck that doesn't have a list of things to do. They just wait and see what you're doing and then go there and mess with you, or go somewhere else and completely leave you alone. That's the deck that I think that can survive those two little things that I just can't get past right now. Right now, that 12 space ridiculous monster. The harness particle three times and you're out. Again, if you want to try that and hope your opponent's not playing past Romulans to just peck at your ship a few times, because if you miss that probe, you're done. There's not much else you can do. Because your ship's blown up and your outpost blown up and you'll be watching. I mean, it's even a Ferengi deck that times it right can send just ship to, throw it at the cube over and over, because you're seeding three, right? You're seeding a Decora, you're seeding a Hudsnok, you're seeding the mercenary ship, and they only get three turns to probe, so they'd have to intercept you three times. And there's actually another trick that I've been keeping in my back pocket. There's a ship that can fire when cloaked.
Yes, there is.
And if that ship hits the table, you'd have to have because you can't establish tractor lock on a cloaked ship, because it's not there. So you'd have to first have the guy that decloaks an opponent's ship, and then have the tractor lock, and it's just gonna sit there and ping, ping, ping. I was so paranoid that someone was gonna figure that out at that last world. I had like eight extra cards just to deal with that, and it never came.
Wow,
I've never seen it, but it's still there. There's just a few little things that are keeping me from playing. I don't think it'll keep a lot of people from playing, because not everyone plays with the style I do. As I said, a lot of people play with that reactive, but that's just not my style.
Now, is Federation flagship recovered? Is that something that they can use to kind of hopefully avoid the mass destruction?
Yes.
Of course, you've given up 45 points at that point.
You've given up 45 points, and you have to rebuild your outpost. And if you're using that construct starship trick, you've discarded it because you want card draws. So that's gone. You can, like I said before, if you're running Locutus's Borg Cube as your starting ship, then you can get the Queen's Borg Cube as your second ship. The problem is, you're giving up that tactical cube, extra shields, extra weapons, and extra free play.
So can you not just get another tactical cube?
No, different ship means different ship, not same title.
Oh, so then they would have to be a different class. I see what you mean.
Yeah, you
would definitely lose a free report.
Yep.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm confident a lot of people will play it and a lot of people will do well, but I'm not confident in my ability to do well, because there are just too many little things that there's no answer to.
You must adapt.
Yeah. And that it goes back and forth, because established tractor lock is actually a good probe for Harness Particle 010, because it's an objective. But it's a horrible card to draw. You know, it's something that you want to download, which means it goes in the tent, but you can only put one copy in the tent. So, I don't know.
Right.
I'm anxious to see some tournament results and some Borg decks that do well, and I'm anxious to look at the other decks and see if anyone was playing some of those very, very specific counters that, frankly, most of the time are not helpful against everyone else. That's a big meta call.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm interested to see how that comes out to play. As you say, you are pretty much the Borg player in our group, certainly in 1E, along with Matt. There are, of course, lots of Borg players across the spectrum of the play groups, and you know, other things that come up. A lot of people were talking about, you know, the Romulan deck or sprinkling the Romulan deck just to have it in case the Borg show up. So,
you know, if you're not playing TNG,
interesting.
It's tough not to put Romulus in there because, unlike some of the other counters, you know, you still get a card draw every turn out of it by just flying a drone around, you know?
Yep.
So use it to stop Harness Particle 01. If they're not using it for that, you know, you card draw here and there. It's not a total loss.
Yeah, you know why I stopped? You know, I've done it almost a couple times. Obviously, it doesn't work with TNG, but I just don't want to, like, hand the Ferengi TNG guy, hey, look, here's my little ship. Why don't you attack it for 5 points every turn?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point. That's tough to do.
And if you're not, you have to go where their ships are. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess I could play it and just not play it if they're playing Ferengi, but...
That's a whole lot of seed. That's a seed slot and...
Exactly.
A couple of cards out of your tent that you're... Or, well, I guess it's your draw deck, but... Yeah.
And then you're drawing dead cards.
Yeah. Ugh. So did you look at the rankings for Tui at all?
I did not have a chance, but I am curious. I mean,
So top five overall from the panel was TNG, TOS, Voyager, Borg, Starfleet. How's that sound to you?
So really not a lot of change.
Nope. Well, Klingon is number six. I thought it was more of a power than that, but they've been slipping as they just haven't gotten anything.
Needed anything. I mean,
Fair enough.
You know, they've been so good that they don't need help, and so they've gotten cards for new decks, which is fine. You know, that's a deck that I really thought would be better. The Treachery deck, that seemed like it would be so good, but they've got some really painful skill holes. And I guess, you know, the couple of people I've seen play it, you know, looking through it, I just have not had success. But I'm still curious to try it, you know, if I ever get around to playing Tui again.
Yeah, the middle of the pack is Klingon, Romulan, Maquis, Ferengi, Cardassian, and then Future.
So it's pretty high for Maquis.
Yeah, well, they've done well at big tournaments. It's kind of like the, you know, high caliber player deck.
It doesn't really count, though, because it's not... All of those decks are not Maquis decks. They're Maquis something else. Like, let's take Maquis cheese and let's completely break it in combination with cards from another affiliation. And, you know, this is kind of why I don't really want to play 1E anymore, or 2 anymore, because it's becoming that sort of, oh, hey, look, this is totally broken. Maybe we should do something about it so we don't have to face this negative play experience anymore. It's, hey, look, this is totally broken. I'm going to sit on this until I go to Worlds and destroy everyone. And then we can fix it. I'm like, that is just not fun to me, and that's just not, you know, particularly with Maquis being in that mix, that's never a fun... I don't care who you are, and I don't care how good your deck is. Even when you win, you do not sit down across to Maquis player and go, oh, I'm so excited to play against you. You're like, oh, crap, what is he going to do to me
now? It turns into a chess match, doesn't it?
You know, and it's like you're either hiding the whole time or you're trying to hurry up and get out there before he can get his nonsense going. You're cursing every time you have to put cards back on top of your deck or you play a personnel and they get discarded. And then, you know, you pair that up with something to like, that's why Maquis is not good, is that, you know, they're not good at solving because they're good at slowing you down to keep up to their pace. You know, you don't need to be able to pair them with other things that just make you want to cry.
All right. Well, your picking of the Federation
and Mucky Diatribe.
Yes. Your picking of the Federation over the field looks pretty good based on those top three all being Feds.
So, now that being said,
yeah,
do I get my key?
Yes, I would have to say so. They're mostly Fed, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I think they Fed just edges out the non-aligns, maybe.
That's a good point. I wonder what would. I'm gonna have to say,
especially with
all the ships are Fed, right?
With all the new Native American settlers, so I'm sure there's probably Feds.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Well, we have some intelligence.
For all the help that'll do.
Do you want to share this intelligence?
Do I?
This is the first image that we've had from the new set. For the new 1E set.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. Although it looked vaguely familiar.
Well, I'm already looking at... There's already at least one problem because the number isn't right.
Well, number one, yes. That's probably not correct.
No.
It being a ship. That, or this is going to be a lot of ships in this set. And it's a Romulan ship, so there's going to be a lot of Romulan, Starfleet, Romulan and Starfleet and Vidian ships. I don't like this set already. If it's going to be all those. But we'll go ahead and say that's probably not correct. This is a stolen ship.
Yeah.
Just stolen ship, huh?
Just a stolen ship. So I put it on.
So this is a...
If you're watching, if you're watching the video, you can see it now. That's kind of awesome. This is... What was it? The T'Pau?
The T'Pau, yeah. The universal version of the ship that Sela had stolen to try and infiltrate Vulcan.
Right, that makes sense, because there are at least three of them in the show, right?
Right, yeah. They're going in as a fleet. So there's the one that... probably the lead ship, and I guess there's a couple more.
Yeah, all right. Well, one of the many decommissioned Vulcan merchant vessels, several were stolen by the Romulans and employed to conquer Vulcan for the Star Empire. That is the lore. It is universal, and its title is just, as you said, Stolen Ship. This is a dual affiliation, Romulan Federation.
Yeah, so like the other stolen ship that we've seen, stolen attack ship, it has both the owner's affiliation and the stealer's affiliation, the thieves.
It's a pretty short title, but there's really not much room for anything up there between the logo, the universal icon, and the two affiliation icons.
Yeah, it's pretty busy. Anything else would be kind of cramped.
But you know what this is? You know what this is? This is a universal... Romulan ship with a staffing icon.
With a staffing icon, that'll be very important in the block.
So the attributes aren't that great. It's 7, 6, 5, but you can report to it with the universal Romulans. That's awesome.
Very nice, and you don't have to worry about having just relying on the Dideritics. That's a big boon. It's got one staffing icon, so it's pretty easy to fly.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine because it's such a weenie ship, and it's got a tractor beam, so it's not completely defenseless. And it's got that little icon that we've been seeing floating around the homepage with no explanation.
Well, it looks like a set icon. Nice. Yeah,
the Enterprise looks like it's flying off into the sunset.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's flying toward a big tribble.
Or flying toward. No trouble at all.
Well,
I used to be quite the troubles player myself, you know.
That's what he says right before he starts weirdly shuffling the cards. One discard. All right.
Go. Make it go.
Now we need to have a tribble that's just engage.
10 copy. What is on everyone's deck? I will make it go.
Oh, no.
100 to you, number one.
Is it one or 100? All right.
Nope, just one. Just 100, number one.
At least we're having a good time, folks.
And we just lost half the audience.
All right.
Hey, we give you a spoiler. What do you want?
Yeah. All right. If you... yeah, someone post that before someone goes nuts. Hey, you know what else I noticed? It was a ship, but we did not see the reappearance of the mysterious Vulcan icon.
That's an excellent point. You would see... Well, I suppose it's an era issue, since it's the present, as far as the 24th century, that makes sense that it would be a Federation ship rather than a Vulcan ship. If it was something from the 22 era, then I would probably expect to see that. But, you know, I was kind of curious about that myself, but based on the three-year plan that was kind of announced during the TNG release extravaganza, I really didn't see Vulcans on the agenda.
Mm.
I mean, they were announced as sort of a, you know, okay, there's a card or there's an icon. We're going to get to them eventually, and it was said not, you know, immediately, but that was like a 3-year plan with no Vulcans. So
yeah,
who knows? Maybe we'll. Although there is Mirror as part of the block. Or it's part of one of those 3-year plans.
I think we'll get Mirror Starfleet.
Maybe Mirror Starfleet will make an appearance with some Vulcans. Who knows? That would be interesting. I would really like to see some Mirror Starfleet. That would be cool.
Were there a lot of Vulcan merchants? That's just not a career path I see a lot of Vulcans going into.
Logistics? Are you kidding?
I'm just not seeing a lot of Vulcans with acquisition as a skill, you know?
Sakona.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. I'll GM you with the one example answer.
No, that's fine.
Probably the exception to the rule. But that's a good point, you know? I don't really, you know. I suppose they're, you know, they can't be all scientists and diplomats. I mean, they need to have supplies. And one assumes they'll need to exchange, you know, trade with other races.
All right, fair enough. I just, as I said, many Vulcan merchant ships. I'm like, it's just
sure.
Vulcan merchant.
Well,
army?
We don't see a lot of other merchant ships until it becomes convenient for us to see them.
Exactly.
So,
all right.
You get the classic. You know, there's the Crossari and you know the. What are the Uridians and you know Ferengi and then okay, well we need a human trader, so this is going to be a human. We need a Vulcan trader, so this will be a Vulcan merchant ship.
Plot dictates, huh? All right.
Exactly.
Let's see. Is there anything else on our agenda?
Oh, I don't think so. I think we're running beyond our intelligence at this point. Oh, we didn't talk about the tournament this weekend, but I'm kind of beyond it. We'll just cover it next time. I think we've gone for quite a bit of time on each of the drafts, and we don't have an event this weekend, so...
Fair enough.
We can do our tournament report next weekend. I think that'll be fine. Plus, I need to get ready for WonderCon, which is coming this weekend. WonderCon is run by Comic-Con, and it is basically a smaller version of Comic-Con.
Is this the one up in the Bay Area?
It is the one that used to be in the Bay Area, and then last year Moscone Center was being renovated, so they held it in Anaheim, and this year the Moscone Center said, yeah, we don't have any space for you, so it's in Anaheim again. But it sounds like they're going to now have, because now they started calling it WonderCon Anaheim. So I think they're going to have WonderCon San Francisco or Bay Area and WonderCon Anaheim.
Not Anaheim isn't that far of a drive. I mean, relatively.
It is not. It'll be fun, and it will be relatively close. So looking forward to it, going up for that, and then running back home Wednesday night in time for Game of Thrones. Sunday night. Did I say Wednesday night? I don't think so. Sunday night is Game of Thrones.
Sunday.
season 3, and we are having a commemorative feast hosted by some friends of ours, and it's going to be extraordinary. A feast of ice and fire, as he calls it. So some food and friends and a new episode. So yay!
All right. Well, enjoy. Until next week, then.
All right. Expand your power in the universe or something. No, you wrapped it up real fast. I don't know.
I was saying to you, until next week.
Oh, until next week.
We will talk again then.
We'll
you may commence with the closing.
Okay, well, we're out of intelligence for this week, so I'll give a customary shout-out to Seconds 31, because we're awesome, and also to Warp 11 for their really cool song that is also titled Section 31. And I am really punchy this week. I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. I am Sir Rogue.
I'm Sir Dan.
And I'll remind you all to do that thing that I mentioned earlier.
And I will do that thing 179 times a day. You cannot run, you cannot hide, and you cannot defect. They are always watching you, but you cannot detect Section 31.